from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome to a Monday morning. Boy, it's nice. 610 Sports Radio, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey. We have a loaded show for you as we now have football and baseball both relevant at the same time. Josh Vernier, who's getting ready to buckle up for a gigantic series against Minnesota. You got the Twins and the Royals tonight. We've got concerns from Kansas City's first preseason game, whether you believe their concerns or not. I'm sure Bob is just cool as the other side of the pillow.
Was there a preseason game this weekend?
About 5 minutes of one.
That's about all I got. I couldn't, man. Once Carson Wentz went in and got sacked, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah, the next
I'm not doing this.
Week two preseason, the only one that you actually give a darn about because they play for two drives.
Two drives, yeah. Maybe it spills into the second quarter for lucky,
again,
right?
I have to be honest, somebody fell for it once again in my friend's circle. We're all sitting at the house watching the game, cooking food, and somebody says, well, Andy said they're going to play the whole first quarter. I said, no. Okay. You got to read the tea leaves. He said the starters will play the first quarter.
Right. He didn't say the whole first quarter.
They're like, oh. And then it
How
was
long has your friend been a Chiefs fan? 2 years?
I don't know, man. You'd check maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, just wait. They'll do the drive. And then, you know, Butker comes out, kicks field goal. And
That's
then immediately
it.
There's the hat.
That's all she wrote.
She's like, oh, you're right. And I was just like, it's not about being right or wrong. It's not about being right or wrong. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah, it's the way it goes. You don't need to see those guys in those preseason games. A lot of injuries over the weekend, too, in some of these preseason games, including Hollywood Brown, obviously. He got out of Jacksonville yesterday, so that's good news, you know, out of him that he was able to come home. But, you know, you watch these preseason games and guys are getting hurt. Guys are getting banged up. I mean, Malik Nabers got hurt in freaking practice yesterday, you know, for the Giants. Hurt his foot. So, you know, you don't want to play in these preseason games. And I'm not mad that people that I know didn't play in these games. I'm fine with that. It's better that way because you know what happens, Dusty? They play these guys in a preseason game. Somebody gets hurt and then everybody complains that they played the guys in the preseason game. So it's a no-win situation, really, when you look at it. But it's a win situation because these are exhibition games. They don't matter. Mm-hmm. They're good for, you know, the future, you know, bouncers and bartenders of this world to try to get some look-sees and maybe catch on with a UFL team or something like that. But for the guys that matter, it really just is get in, get out, and move on with your life.
Speaking of getting get out, Royals head to Minnesota for a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday three-game set tonight, tomorrow night, Wednesday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big one because of what happened over the weekend. No blood lost with the St. Louis Cardinals. Obviously, you lose the first night. Bullpen, again, brutal. Second night, absolutely just cleaned house. Wasn't even a close game.
Yeah, Salvi was huge, obviously, on Saturday night, just kind of taking over that thing, right?
You know, Salvi, Bobby, and MJ, all three had huge games against the Cardinals on Saturday. And now you look at the division, and you are four games out against Cleveland. Mm-hmm. You are a half game behind Minnesota. And in the wild card, this is a beautiful thing. You are starting to separate yourself, even though here come the Seattle Mariners. Boston, three games out. Seattle, 2.5. Weekend overall, two-game series, Sunday off. I wasn't really upset. I wasn't really, like, super ecstatic. I was just like, look, you lost Friday. You have to win Saturday. They did that. They move on. They get an off day. Minnesota tied for three.
Yeah, I really wanted them to win both games against the Cardinals, though. That was a losing franchise that came in here, and that's one of those games that you let get away. And you let get away, again, the same way most of these games have been getting away. This bullpen stinks out loud. I think it's fair to say that right now, other than that Ursig guy, right?
Yeah, that guy's a hard ass.
That guy. Other than that dude, there's nobody in this bullpen right now that you can truly rely on. Like, if you look at everybody in the eye and say, can I rely on MacArthur? Can I rely on this guy? Can I rely on that guy? I think the answer to that question is no. And that's what concerns me about not going in necessarily to the series against the Twins, but these last 40 games. Are they going to get enough out of the bullpen to hold on to this thing and to make sure that they do get into the postseason? Because right now, the bullpen, Dusty, gives me a lot of concern. And it's just not a reliable group right now. Like, I know not everybody has to be their best all the time. But, man, somebody's got to show me something out of the bullpen other than this Ursig guy that I think we could rely on as we get, you know, into the middle days of August and into September. Like, you've got to have guys that can be reliable in that bullpen. And right now, that's just not the case for the Royals. They stink.
Yeah, the problem is that it's weird how it happens, Bob, because it's like for 2 weeks, it's one guy. And then 2 weeks later, it's another guy. And I feel like that's, you know, one, it seems like it could be very taxing on your head manager. Or your manager of the club. But like Friday night, Lorenzen wasn't sharp. Like it just was obvious. He wasn't there. Four innings, six hits, three runs, three earned. But then it's like Sam Long does decent, gives up a run. Ersig, great.
Right.
Will Smith, terrible. And then it's like Stratton, great. Zerpa,
terrible.
MacArthur, great. And it's like it was MacArthur.
But MacArthur was terrible the night before.
And it's like, yeah, and it's just like, so you're right. This bullpen is going to be the Achilles heel of this baseball team. Like, I think we can all agree to that. This team is going to make the playoffs. I can almost guarantee you that. I know it's not a guarantee right now, and there's still a little bit of time left in the season. These three games will be the thing. But it seems like the Royals' best recipe, and maybe this is the obvious eye roll in your car on a Monday morning, like, who is this ass talking about baseball? Like, he knows what he's talking about. But here's the thing. The best recipe is you're up 4-0, your starter's cooking, and all you need to do is have your bullpen guy go in there and get you one or two innings.
Right.
That's the only way that they're going to be, like, the most successful going forward. And the other thing, too, is you just got to get to the playoffs, because then you can go with your three-man rotation, and then you can be like, okay, Marsh, Waka, you guys, Lorenzen, you're going to be our bullpen. That's going to be your bullpen, or the starting pitching. And we're going to take this bullpen, and hopefully it's only Ersig and some other guy that has to come in. Because honestly, I'm like you now. I'm sold. I think Ersig has to be your closer.
Yep.
I think you need to bring in Bubic in the eighth. And then hopefully.
And I use that term closer kind of loosely, like in a tight, like if you're in a tight situation.
Slammer.
Yeah, like a tight situation in the seventh inning, you're up by one and they got two on with one out.
Right.
I want Ursig coming in that situation. I don't want to save him to the ninth inning, because if you don't go to him, there's a good chance the ninth inning isn't going to matter, right? And you're not going to need a closer, you know, in the ninth inning. So I think instead of using the term maybe closer for Ursig, maybe we start to use a term that is, as you said, the door slammer, the guy who gets you out of the jam, or whatever the case may be. Like, when you need outs, you go to this guy out of the bullpen to clean things up a little bit. Like, maybe he's the wolf of the bullpen, if you will. You know, kind of comes in when you need him to come in and clean things up. And I think that could be a situation where the Royals are going to have to really, really consider using him in the highest leverages of situations, because right now he's the only individual that I really truly can trust. But also too, now we have to start asking the starters to go deeper into games, right? Mm-hmm. Like five innings isn't acceptable anymore. Like, if you're a starter on this team and you're cruising along, you've got to go to seven. You've got to push this thing to eight innings. It's all about winning games now and figuring out ways to win games. And your starting staff still gives you the best opportunity to win, because the starting staff is really, really good, right? The bullpen just happens to be the wide receivers of 2023 for the Kansas City Chiefs, the Kadarius Tonys of the world, right? And the Sky Moores of the world, and whoever else you want to put into that category. Mahomes was able to bail everybody out. Will Bobby Witt be able to bail everybody out like Mahomes did when that bullpen goes, you know, belly up as it's done a lot this year? So that's the concern for me right now as we head down to these last 40 games. And obviously this big series tonight is I just don't know if this bullpen is good enough to keep the Royals in a playoff position. And they did the best that they possibly could at the deadline. It's no knock against the front office at all. It's like, okay, now this offseason comes. We know what we need to do, right? Like, there's going to be a big overhaul of this bullpen in the offseason. You hope it can just hold it together enough to get this organization into the postseason, because I think it's huge for this organization to get into the postseason this year and kind of set the groundwork of, okay, we hit the ground running and we're ready to go. But to me, it's they're going to go as far as this bullpen takes them, and if they can't figure it out, we may be in for a shorter postseason run, if you will, or maybe not even a postseason run if this bullpen can't get things figured out.
Yeah, I mean, we could focus over on the next three games, the Minnesota Twins, but I think when you're a team that is competitive and a team that is considered good, I mean, I would say they're well above average, obviously, with the record and the way they played the season, but you can nitpick what your team isn't great at, right? Like, last year, the Chiefs were 11-6, but it was like, our receivers stink out loud. Like, it was obvious. Like, you're like, the only one that is actually worth it is Rashee Rice right now. We have to use Pacheco. We have to use Travis Kelce. You look at this Chiefs bullpen, it's like, that's the one thing that's bad. If the Chiefs didn't have that bullpen, they're probably a 70-win team if they had a better bullpen. And I know you can be like, well, yeah, if we had Wade Davis and Holland and all that. That's not what I'm saying. This bullpen is just unreliable, and it's one of those things, Bob, where I know you're probably the same way, Max probably the same way. If it's 3-1 going into the seventh inning and here comes Zerpa, I'm going, okay.
Oh, God.
You know, I'm like, okay, just please. And as soon as he walks the first guy, I'm like, they're good. And it's not, you know, it's not being pessimistic.
No, it's just being
like
realistic.
It's just like seeing, it's like, okay. And then sometimes, you know, it's just the inconsistency. But what is consistent is your starting pitching. I know they haven't announced a starter for Tuesday, but let's be honest. Tonight is Brady Singer.
Right.
Wednesday is Cole Reagans. That means Tuesday is probably Seth Lugo. I would assume those are going to be your three starters. You are going into now what's next. Big up for the biggest series of the season.
Oh, huge, yeah.
And you can leapfrog the Minnesota Twins by a maximum of, what, 2.5 games? If you sweep them.
If you sweep them, yeah, you're in good spot,
You win 2 out of 3, you're up a game and a half. So you're looking again at 2 out of 3 is a big series here, and you're taking
Was pitching Tuesday.
Yeah, okay. I just wasn't on this app that I was looking at, but I was pretty sure.
The Minnesota Twins have not named starters for Tuesday or Wednesday.
Right. And you have to go into this series thinking, okay, look at all the advantages you have. You have the three big hoses for your team going in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You have Bobby Witt Jr., the MVP of the league, at least in my opinion, even though it's probably Judge. He had another home run yesterday. We can get into talk about the Yankees. And then three, you got Salvador Perez as a captain starting to get hot again, and he's going into Target Field where he absolutely rakes.
Yeah, he destroys Target Field, man. Absolutely. I was thinking about that yesterday. I'm like, yeah, the Royals are off today. Not a lot going on, right? And then I started thinking about Salvi's performance on Saturday night, and that was the 13th anniversary of his debut in Kansas City as a professional baseball player, right? When you look at people every day, it's like they don't look like they age, you know. And then you see the time lapse pictures, if you will. Salvador Perez on his August 10th date. That's his debut date. This comes from Kurt Nelson over at the Royals Hall of Fame. He sent this to me. He's played 10 games on August 10th in his career. He's hitting .378 with 5 homers and 12 driven in. He has at least one hit in 9 of the 10 games. So every time he plays on his anniversary, you need to put money on Salvi doing something good, you know, on the FanDuel app, because he's going to cash in. And so he did it again on Saturday in his big moment. And then yesterday I'm starting to think about, all right, we're going to Target Field. You start to kind of play the games through your mind. I'm like, I love our starting pitching in this game. I hate our bullpen right now. Our defense is phenomenal. Oh, Salvi's the X factor in this one, because Salvi hits at Target Field like nobody's ever hit at Target Field before. I think he literally is the world's greatest hitter at Target Field. Like, the numbers that he puts up there are beyond belief. And you have to think, you know, if Salvi would have signed with the Twins, how much more money would he have been making with those numbers? Because whatever it is in Minnesota, man, that guy absolutely owns that ballpark and crushes the ball there and is just a tremendous player. So I'm excited to watch Salvi play in these games up at Target Field, because he owns the joint. And we got three starters going against a guy in Lopez tonight, whatever you want to say about him. But then they got two TBAs coming the next next two nights. Like, this is a must-win series. Go up there and sweep the Minnesota Twins and assert yourself as the second-best team as of this moment in the American League Central. You know, you go up there and you win one against the Minnesota Twins, this is not cutting the mustard. You've got to find a way to absolutely go out and do damage, win the series at least. But man, you sweep the Minnesota Twins, you're sitting in a great spot going into the off day on Thursday.
I'm with you. Two out of three would be two out of three ain't bad, as Meatloaf once said. Baseball coverage on 610 Sports Radio presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Coming up on the other side, Mac probably had his tears shed from his eye on the first play of preseason, but for some reason, continue to watch the rest of the three quarters. He gets to cook on the other side with Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, and Mac Morey on 610 Sports Radio. Fesco, the morning crew here with you as you come back with Motley Crue.
There it is. Probably from the 90s when I think it's from the 80s, but whatever.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely the 80s.
That's what you think, and then you look it up, it's like 92, 93.
That is weird to me.
Isn't it?
That is like, so
yeah,
weird.
It was like, what was that? I don't remember what song it was the other day. I guess it was Enter Sandman, maybe we were talking about.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, it was.
That's from the 90s. Yeah.
Would have never
guessed.
Look up
this one. See what year this one is from. I'm going to guess early 90s. Maybe 89, but it screams 80s music, and then you look at it, it's like 93. 87. All right.
I wasn't even born yet. Feeling young again. Feeling young again.
Yeah, me either.
Yep, I was born like 3 months later, though. This is back before Tommy Lee became a famous actor. You can check out his movie.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, oh yeah. Starring him and Pamela Anderson on a boat.
Nice.
That sounds great.
It was the first of many videos that would come out with celebrities.
Uh-huh. There's a great Motley Crue movie on Netflix, The Dirt. Really good.
Is it good?
I really like it. Okay. Sex, drugs, rock and roll movie. I mean, you can't go wrong.
Right. Yeah.
So do they emphasize on sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
There's a lot of all three.
Yeah. I mean, what else was Motley Crue doing?
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, dating seriously. Playmates.
Yeah.
They all
That's the sex category.
Yeah. I think they all basically at one point dated a playmate model, which was obviously Mac before you. But we all used to just read the articles.
Right. There's nice articles and advice in there and comics and jokes.
Shel Silverstein wrote for Playboy, which a house in the attic. And then it was like, why is he in this as well?
My favorite Shel Silverstein is the nose picking one where you put your finger all the way up and it bites the whole damn thing off.
You ever read any Shel Silverstein there?
Where the Sidewalk Ends? You know any of that?
The Missing Piece?
No.
Great author.
No idea.
Yeah, he was a good guy.
Did you know Shel?
What's that?
You know Shel?
No Shel?
Oh, yeah, did you know him?
No.
Oh, he said he was a good guy. I don't know if you guys went way back or you had a meeting with Shel Silverstein or something, you know?
Yeah, good guy. I mean, if Hugh trusts you to write articles, I assume that, you know. Hey, man, you want to come into the mansion and write a couple articles? Is that what you want me to come do? Okay, yeah, absolutely, I'll go there. No, but in all seriousness, there was a football game played for the Kansas City Chiefs. Not a lot to dive into. I don't really care about the semantics of a preseason game, but the obvious elephant in the room is the unfortunateness of the first play of the game. We see Mahomes hit Hollywood Brown. Nice pass. Guy rolls on top of him. Clavicle, cervical, whatever it was, breaks.
Ugh.
We see everybody's fake doctor go on the internet and say, here's what happened. Mm-hmm. Man, I know what happened. The dude broke a bone in his collarbone area. He's going to be out probably 4 weeks. Likely could miss the first preseason game, according to Ian Rapoport. And then after that, we'll see what happens. But again, this is one of those classic day-by-days. I'm in fear that I'm with you on the script sometimes, that here's this devastating injury. Is Rashee Rice now going to get suspended and the Chiefs are going to be down the barrel of the opening season of the three-peat? I don't know. But again, there is cause of concern for the reason that Hollywood Brown is hurt because he is your number one wide receiver, new addition, and should have been and could be a very valuable piece of this offense.
Well, and you think about what happened last year too, right? They didn't have Hollywood Brown last year. They still figured out a way to win a Super Bowl. This is the same injury that Tyreek Hill had, obviously on that same field in Jacksonville in 2019. And he was down for the first 4 weeks of the season. And I think everybody thought at that point in time, oh my God, it's devastating without Tyreek Hill. They did just fine and ended up winning the Super Bowl after that season. So like Hollywood Brown goes down, I'm like, they haven't played one game yet with Hollywood Brown. Obviously you don't like to see anybody go down. But I'm choosing to look at the positive, and that's Patrick Mahomes and what he's able to do, and they'll figure things out. And the good news is that it happened in preseason game number one, right? So if it's 4 to 6 weeks, we're talking about maybe misses two games at the beginning of the season. But again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to speculate. And anybody that's on the internet speculating about how long he's going to miss time, or people claiming that they're doctors and they know about these injuries, you don't. You didn't examine the gentleman, okay? So you don't know. You can make it up and say this is, you know, normal case scenario for something like that, but you can't get in there and tell me how long.
Everybody was a
doctor. I mean, maybe he heals faster than somebody, or maybe, you know, he heals slower. We just don't know, right? And so you don't know how hard he's going to work to get back and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of factors that go into play. So anybody outside the organization that's diagnosing him or telling you this is when he's going to come back, they're full of crap because they don't know what's going on with Hollywood Brown. No, so it does stink to lose him. But as I asked you guys in the pre-show meeting this morning, I'm like, what are we suspending Rashee Rice for again exactly? And you guys kind of went through all the stuff, you know, down in Dallas, and you're like, his court date's December something. I'm like, yeah, that's not happening this year. I don't think there's going to be a Rashee Rice suspension this year, if there's one at all. The legal system obviously needs to play itself out. The NFL could suspend for embarrassing the league, but if you suspend a guy for speeding and walking away from an accident, like, I don't know that that's worthy, quite honestly, of suspension until the court takes control and you know, decides what's wrong with Rashee Rice. So I think the league is probably going to wait until they see what the courts decide to do before any sort of suspension is considered. And by that time, you're talking next year if there's a suspension, you know, for Rashee Rice. So I think they're going to get through it. I think they're going to be just fine without Hollywood Brown. And then you add Hollywood Brown into the mix in mid-September maybe, and now all of a sudden, hey, we got another wide receiver. We got another weapon. And I think that's going to be the exciting part of that thing.
Yeah, that court date, December 9th, I think it's two civil lawsuits, one for the negligence and the reckless driving, the other for leaving that accident.
Yeah.
And to continue with the half-glass-full thing with Hollywood Brown, Bob, I mean, he, other than Mecole Hardman, who we can talk about later making this roster or not, but other than him, he's the one, you know, veteran wide receiver. So if you were to trust someone in that group to come on in week four, week five, and just kind of get things going, it would be Hollywood Brown. He's the vet. He's been in.
Yeah, he knows what to do.
He knows what to do. He's been a part of a few offensive systems. He's played with a couple different quarterbacks. I trust him to be able to come in, but.
But we knew Hollywood Brown was injury prone, right? That was kind of the track record, you know, on this guy coming in. So maybe he, quote unquote, got the injury out of his system, if you will, you know, in the preseason. And I don't know what you guys thought about it. Looked like a normal tackle to me, right? Like, it didn't look like it was that big a deal, you know, to be tackled. But if you land wrong, and you were talking about like that bone, like that's kind of a thinner bone, right? Yeah. So probably.
Because I'm also a doctor.
Yeah, right. But you just feel your clavicle, right? It's like it feels like, it, you know, like it could snap at any moment.
Receiver, like you think about the, you know, the arms and like everything, like, and getting hit.
Yeah,
it's like let that thing heal.
Yeah, just let it heal and get him back and get him healthy and they'll be fine without him.
The only thing that sucks seeing this injury is, one, that was an offseason signing to kind of, you know, elevate your offense.
Sure, yeah.
Two, you look at the first two games of the season on the schedule and you're like,
you kind of need him. You'd like to have him. Yeah, you know, you'd like to have him, but it's an opportunity for somebody else to step up. It's an opportunity for Sky Moore to look at this as an opening, as an opportunity to say, you know what, I may actually make this team now because of this injury to Hollywood Brown. I don't want to be the guy that gets cut when Hollywood Brown comes back. So maybe he elevates his game and maybe he takes it to the next level. Now through three or four games, you're like, man, all right, Sky Moore's turned things around. He's a guy that we can rely on. And maybe they cut somebody else, you know, when Hollywood Brown, you know, goes to back to the active roster. So I think there are some positives that you can look at and look at this as an opportunity for somebody else. And if somebody doesn't take advantage of this opportunity, well, then screw them.
Another buddy of mine, Mr. Connor, says it only takes 7 pounds of pressure to break the clavicle.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
We're all doctors, dude.
You know, that's, you know, normally, like, I'm not going to diagnose that injury. I'm not there. I don't know what happened.
The other thing that shows you this is a theory that we've been talking about earlier in this season, is that this is where you can bring out, you know, the different shades of offense from the past.
Sure, and that's
now
the other thing. Yeah,
now you're going into Baltimore and you're going back to the old drawing board of what was successful last year. Pacheco, Kelsey, Rice.
Right.
You got it. You know how to do it. And you still have Xavier Worthy, who can be, you know, maybe this gets Andy Reid to be like, Let's let the young rookie kind of experience the league. We'll let him be Hollywood Brown. We'll see if he can handle it. If not, we'll go back to the simplicities of the offense.
And of course, with Carson Steele on the roster now, there's no stopping this offense,
don't
right?
Tell people my favorite Chiefs player.
Oh, is that your guy?
Yeah, because he's got a porn name.
Yeah, Carson Steele is really good. That's
Carson
a really,
Steele.
Who was the other guy that I sent you the other day? I'm like, they got a guy named this on the team. Swayze Bozeman.
Yeah, Patrick's cousin.
Yeah, that's a name right there. Swayze Bozeman. I'm rooting for that guy.
When your name is Carson Steele, and you have a drip like that man had.
Oh God, yeah.
God, that guy can play the porn version of Thor, and I'd be okay with
that. He's gonna make the team as a fullback, you think? Or is that Luis Rezuzamet?
No, that guy's gonna be guy might be Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Let's pump the brakes though. Because we're gonna talk about that on the other side as we get into overreaction, underreaction. We'll dive into more of this preseason game because I thought Luis Rezuzamet was I thought he was as advertised. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. Damn glad to have you here on 610 Sports Radio on a Monday morning. Back in, did a quick little bit of research during the break. Also had some help from my buddy Robert. Carson Steele has a pet alligator, apparently.
And
His name is Crocky J.
Uh-huh.
That's one. Steele signed a letter of intent to play college football at Ball State in February of 2021. Due to his long blonde hair, finesse, less than 10% body fat, and talents as a running back, he received nicknames at Ball State, including Thor, Fabio, and Man of Steel.
Yeah, I like those nicknames. All three that have been used for me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Bob gets called Thor because he's got a hammer on him.
That's right.
Just throwing that out there for
you. And Fabio because I'm gorgeous.
And he's been hit in the face with a bird on a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm. Who was the third one that you said? Fabio, Thor, and
Man of Steel.
Man of Steel, yes.
Hence the last name. But I think that is the best part, guys, about preseason football, is that you go into it, zero expectations, and then somebody kind of like sticks out, right? And the one thing that stuck out to me, and Bob and I were going back and forth, and again, Bob and I love each other, but we can have constructive conversation or we can have aggressive conversations. The kickoff rule is absolutely ass.
I absolutely love it.
And here we are. I have no idea what's going on.
No one does. That's what the beauty of it.
I think this is part of the process of people starting to be like, all right, NFL, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Because other rule changes, I totally understand. The hip tackle, right? Okay. We're going to tell us how we can't tackle anymore. Yeah, kind of, but look at how the injuries happened. Like, maybe try to avoid dragging
someone
down. Good
thing they didn't hip tackle Hollywood Brown. He would have gotten hurt.
And then we'd have had, you know, the hip actually takes 9 pounds.
Right.
And then not only that, but, like, there's zones. And when they had the safety?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone at the house on Saturday was just going, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And, like, somebody even asked me. There was a couple there, and the guy's wife was like, so You do sports talk for a living, right? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, okay, can you explain the kickoff rule? And I was like, I'm going to be honest with you. I got no damn clue what's going on with the kickoff rule.
Ma'am, I can't even explain a catch in the NFL, let alone this new kickoff rule. But the players need to know that, right? Like, you need to know that now the ball is not dead when it hits in the end zone unless you down it in the end zone. Like, you got to know that rule. That's on Dave Tope. So you've got to make sure that, you know, these guys are knowing the rules and understanding the rules. And if it bounces out of the end zone, that ball is live. You can't bring it back into the end zone. Otherwise, it's a safety. I think with the new kickoff rule, it's like anything in life. It's new. It must be bad, right? Like, and that's the initial reaction that we had for everything. Like, I think people believe that the pitch clock was going to be bad for Major League Baseball, right? Before they really experienced the pitch clock in baseball and how much better the game has been because of the pitch clock. Or the ghost runner, the Manfred man that they put on second base in extra innings. I know some people have complained about that. I freaking love that ghost runner on second base to start extra innings. It speeds up the game. You all of a sudden have strategy that needs to be used in extra innings. Like, I really, really like it. We complained when each team got the ball in overtime, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the Buffalo Bills whined and cried. So it's like new rules come about and our initial reaction is, oh my God, this sucks, right? Let me give it some time. We've given it one preseason week in the Hall of Fame game to see if we like it. and there's a lot of confusion to it. But also, did you see the return Jacksonville had on their first opportunity? I mean, took that thing like 80 yards, right? It adds, and what they're trying to do is add excitement back, you know, to the kickoff and whatnot. So I'm willing to let this thing play out and see where it is. At the end of the season, if it's just a total disaster, the league will get rid of it like they did with challenging pass interference a couple of years ago, right? Because the refs were not about to review their own calls and change their calls. So they just got rid of that rule. It didn't work. But I'm willing to let this thing kind of play out and see where it is. Is it clunky right now? Yeah, it's not exactly the best right now. But I think as people start to understand it, Dusty, I think people will start to embrace it a little bit more, and you'll go, okay, this is what they're trying to do. Or maybe you won't. And maybe at the end of the year, we're all in unison going, this blows, get rid of this thing.
And see, my thing is that I understand why they moved the playoff or the point after attempt.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that. It was just getting to the point where it's like, let's excite the NFL.
How much of the CFL game did you watch last night on CBS Sports Network?
Zero.
None? You didn't watch any of the Eskimos taking on whoever they were playing yesterday? I was watching. Their extra point is back as well, you know, for the NFL standard, and like 33 yards for that as well. That made sense. It really did. Like, the extra point was just a gimme. I like the fact that there's a little strategy in the extra point now, too.
Yeah, you either kick it from what, like the 15-yard line, or you can go for two from the 2-yard line. So it's like, it's up to you. It kind of makes a pivotal game switch.
And if we've got the steel guy, there's no reason to ever kick an extra point. Just run for two every single time with that guy.
Damn straight.
Yeah, dude, let that guy go right up the middle. But like, you go back and I bring up a couple of the rules, and I'll tally into the NFL as well. You bring up the ghost runner on second. Well, that's just to expedite games and extra innings, because how many times did you watch baseball and it would be like here we go in the top of the 15th inning.
Yeah, right.
It's like, what are we doing here?
They did it for that, but they also like discovered it during COVID when they were trying to end games fast because they didn't want people out there on the field. Like, this is a pretty good rule. I kind of like this rule. I think this is fun. I think it's great.
As kids, how many times you play backyard baseball?
Every time.
Ghost runner on third. Because we don't have it. Right.
Yep.
Pitch clock. Makes sense. Pitchers and batters were like doing the Nomar Garcia Parra thing. And you saw that it went from a 3.5-hour game to a 2.5-hour game.
Right.
Vern's probably going, greatest rule ever invented in baseball.
Everybody in baseball loves the rule.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
It's very simplistic. You've got 20 seconds to throw the baseball or whatever, 15 seconds, whatever it is. You know the time. They got to pitch it by then. You go to the NFL and you look at the rules that have changed over the past. Everybody in overtime gets a chance, right? If they don't score a touchdown, or if they do score a touchdown in the playoffs, the other team has a chance for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if they kick a field goal, they get a touchdown, game's over. Simplistic. This one is just like, you got to kick it in a zone. You can't be in the end zone, or it's a safety. Like, Mecole Hardman looked like me in a fifth grade math test when they flipped the paper over, and it's like, okay, I know I have to be here, and then all of a sudden the test gets here, and you're like, I don't know what's going on.
Right.
So this, to me, is one of those like jumping the shark type of rules where we went from teeing a ball up, kicking it downfield, you either catch it and return it, or you don't. And now all of a sudden it's like, well, there's a zone. Here's the, you know, imagine how confusing it is for us seeing the graphic on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how confusing it could be for the players not knowing what's going on from a
graphic,
rule that was so simplistic, where it was T-ball, kickball, catchball, return ball. Now it's like, well, we put it over here and it touches, it's dead. But this guy touched it, then you can start going after. It's like, no. Just get rid of it.
Here's the rule of thumb, I think, for this new kickoff rule.
Mm-hmm.
Catch the ball and run and see what happens, right?
Fair enough.
Don't do anything else. Don't try to play games. Don't try to overthink this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Pick the ball up and go and see what you can do. And it's basically become an elongated running play has, right?
Yeah.
It's become an elongated running play on for the offense. And so we'll see. I mean, it's all about who coaches it the right way. Like, Tobe gets all these accolades for how great a special teams coach he is. So I'm expecting to see some interesting things out of the kickoff, because Dave Tobe has had all offseason to play around with it. And if the players don't know the rules and they don't know what's going on, that's on the coaches to make sure that they do know the rules. Like, this is one where you probably have to stay, you know, after class and say, all right, does everybody truly understand the rules of what's going on here? And make sure everybody's educated, including the fans, because we don't like this rule right now for a lot of us. You don't know what's going on right now, but by week two, we'll all be experts at this rule, right? You do realize that by like week two, every football fan will be an expert on this new kickoff rule.
Mecole Hardman should already be an expert.
He absolutely should
be. And part of that, you're right, totally on Dave Tobe. But Mecole Hardman, you're trying to make this roster. You're a veteran. You need to know every rule. You're supposed to be our master returner. That's supposed to be, you know what? I'm coming in. I'm not going to be the best receiver on this team. I'm not going to be the fourth best receiver on this team. But you know what? I'm going to be our surefire returner every right. time. These past 3 years, the Chiefs haven't had one. That's going to be me. I'm going to step up. And it's just like, you should know these rules, McColl. I'm sorry. Maybe that's just me being curmudgeon preseason. Take a chill pill. But Hardman, I don't think he's making this roster.
No, I think he's making the roster. No. He's not making the roster because of that. He's a veteran wide receiver.
Well, you know who looked great returning? Nico Remigio.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I know everybody loves him, and you know, with the injury to Hollywood Brown, maybe there is a place for this guy on the roster, right? There's always a fan favorite every year. In training camp last year, it was the guy who they traded to Carolina, and now this year it's Nico Remigio that can potentially be that fan favorite. But, McCall Hartman's going to make the team because he's a veteran wide receiver. They went out and they signed him in the offseason. They brought him back in. He's part of the plan. And
looks like he's taking that attitude as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, because he messed up on a kickoff in preseason, we're losing our minds. Like, seriously, think about this. It was August 10th. I mean, and a guy, you know, screwed up a kickoff in preseason, and this guy's losing his mind. I can't wait for the regular season. My God. How mad are you going to be if they lose a regular season game? And it's like, man, it's not a big deal. You're going to come in here like foaming at the mouth. Oh, my God, they lost a game. Well, we'll see you in the Super Bowl.
And to put Mac in a straitjacket.
Yeah.
Throw away the key.
Know the rules.
Good Lord.
I'm not even mad at McCall Hartman because I'm not.
49ers didn't know the damn rules in the Super Bowl.
No, they did. They just didn't know how to call a coin toss, which that's on them. I'm not even mad at McCall Hartman because I don't know the rules, so I can't even honestly say if he knew the rules or if he knew he was doing the right thing or the wrong thing. I don't even think that's on McColl. I just think it's on the NFL implicating a kickoff rule that makes absolutely zero sense.
And I think you can sit in a classroom and get all the information that you need, and then when you got to take the test, like Dusty was talking, it's a completely different beast. You get out there, and they probably overloaded these guys, quite honestly, with information, right. And he's trying to go, do I catch it? Do I take it? What do I do? If I down it, where do I get it? If I run it back, is it better than where I... And like in that period of time, he made the wrong decision because there's a lot of information that's being processed. And that's why I simplified it for everybody. See ball, catch ball, run with ball. That's all you got to do.
Okay. But now they're hitting chip shots and angles and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, I know. And that's the other thing. The kickers are getting really involved with some crazy stuff and whatnot. And so you just got to figure it out. And there's a really good chance that if like it just becomes too clunky, they move away from this rule after this season. And we'll see where it is. But I don't mind them trying something new to see if it works. And who knows, by week 8, we may see all these great returns and we're like, oh my God, this has been the greatest thing ever, you know, in the NFL to change this kickoff rule. So I'm willing to let it play out, see where we are. At the end of the year, it stinks, and we'll reevaluate.
That's good. The morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. The next topic just says trolling my wife. I think that's a good enough tease. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio. Basketball. Give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it. Basketball. Give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it.
I like it. I'm good with that song. I think it's very, very, very good. I was singing it all weekend long because who wasn't watching the men's game on Saturday, right? Did you see the number? 19.5 million people watched that game on Sunday or Saturday afternoon. 2:30 Eastern or Central Time and 3:30 Central, Eastern, whatever the hell time zone we're in, right?
Paris time.
Oh my God! Yeah, what a great start time in Paris too. Like a 9:30, you know, game. You get your you get your drink on, get your dinner done, and you get over there and you watch that game. And it turned out to be an epic game. And obviously, Steph Curry was just amazing and wonderful. And you know, I mean, just astonishing. Amazing. Really watching Steph in the last two games. But you know, I just couldn't get the theme song out of my head. And about like, you know, halfway through the game, my wife is like, please stop singing that song. And that's kind of when the wheels in motion went to work.
Oh, yeah. And then what happened?
And then what happened is I contacted about 15 people and had them all send my wife that song, including Dusty.
Mm-hmm. And I let it wait a little bit. Because I know Jen's personality, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to look like I'm the good guy, even though I've just, we just started doing this show. I was like, yeah, I'll be like the good guy. Waited, and then Bob sends me a text, says, oh, man, It's awesome. It's glorious. Everyone is sending her just version of the song. And then I sent her the Saturday Night Live one, and she goes, I hate you.
Yeah. It was so good. Like, I was trying to get people to record, like, voice memos of them just singing it, but then people just started sending any video they could find. And, like, the John Tesh Live at Red Rocks where he explains the song, how he called his phone and left the answer. Machine message back in the day, and then like Tesh in that horrible suit that he's wearing starts like dribbling a basketball very poorly, and then you know he kind of came up with a song. So I think there's about 15 people or so sent her. It was fantastic. Amazing. Every minute or so, ding ding, here comes another. She's like, enough, stop. And you know when you tell somebody like me to stop, you know what that's going to make, right?
It's the opposite effect,
exactly. And so all weekend long, I just couldn't get that song out of my head. It's the best sports theme song of all time, and I'm not even a basketball fan, and I love it, and it gets you in the right mindset. It gets you fired up, and boy, the guys waving the American flag over the weekend sure did a hell of a job out there, crushing the French dreams and winning that gold medal. What a great weekend for the United States men's basketball, and they did exactly what they needed to do to capture people like me who aren't real basketball fans. I became a big-time fan over the last 2 weeks watching these Olympics and watching these guys play. I love the FIBA style of basketball. Even my wife said, she goes, I really like this. The games are quick. I'm like, yeah, they are. 10-minute quarters, and they roll through them, and you know, you're done in 90 minutes. These games were over in 90 minutes. I'm like, this is the way to go. This is great. It felt like it was a free-flowing game. It felt like it was a fast-paced game. It just felt like what I've wanted to see in basketball in quite some time. They don't gum it up. It doesn't look stupid. There's not 1,000 reviews at the end of the game and fouling and all that stuff.
The flopping.
You know, all that's like, it was great, man. Like the United States men's basketball team made us proud. They were awesome. And God, Steph Curry became a national hero overnight, didn't he? Whew, Steph Curry, man, he's still hitting shots.
Durant. Back to Curry, dancing on Batum, over the double team. Oh! It's a golden dagger!
Night!
Curry, unconscious in the fourth. Davis with a rebound. Up ahead for Booker, exclamation point.
He's a bad boy! Night!
8 threes for Curry. He has sent the French crowd into a frenzy they will never forget.
And I think that was the best part of the entire audio because I'm going to be honest with you guys. Bob, I know you say you're not the biggest basketball fan. I love it. I've enjoyed watching Steph do this throughout his entire career. And they showed a graphic at the end of the game where it was his first four games of the tournament. Pretty just, you know, nonchalant, not really anything appetizing. And then that last game, 8 threes. Four of which came in like the last 2.5 minutes. And the thing that was great to watch is every time the French team did something of positivity, it was, oh, here comes Steph or here comes LeBron with a backup three. Yep. Boom in your face. You get to six, back to nine. Get to six, back to nine.
Yep.
And then there's a three at the end of the game where the double team happens. He throws over the top, hits it. And then you see the raw emotion come out because, look, I thought the best thing ever was when they interviewed Steve Kerr at the end of the game. They said, hey, man. Silver is the only medal, or getting a silver medal for any other country is considered a success. For the United States, it was considered a failure.
Yeah.
And when you're that good, you have that much talent, and you play a French team that is up on the come, you know, there's a chance that in 4 years from now in Los Angeles, you will see the rematch.
Yeah.
French team, United States team. And again, in 8 years later, you're going to probably see another rematch of French team, United States team. So this is, to me, one of three in a row that we'll see for the gold medal game, United States versus the French team. One of the first three legs, the United States has won. Yeah. And buckle up because, yeah, Steph Curry's probably not going to be here in 4 years. Somebody else will be. Will it be Anthony or will it be Anthony Edwards? Will it be maybe Jason Tatum's turn to be the veteran that hits the big shots? You never know. But like you said, a great weekend. Perfect timing on a Saturday, 2:30, got you really ramped up, and then all of a sudden there was about an hour break, and then it was Chiefs-Royals and all that sort of thing. So I think there was a lot of us wrapped in the flag for the gold medal game, and like you say, there's not a lot of people that in this area might be the biggest basketball fans, but they will be when it gets serious. So they watch the Final Four. Then they watch the gold medal game. And all of a sudden, it's like they're all tuned in. They're like, okay, this is nice. Yes, it's different than the regular rules of basketball, but this was one of those games where you were watching this gold medal game.
It was different, but it was better than the regular rules of basketball, Dusty.
And the best part about it was we got to see classic Steph.
Yeah. Oh, God, it was so good.
That's one of those things that lets you know that when you are an anomaly of an athlete and you are that damn good at your sport, yeah, that's going to tick her off, right? Like, Mahomes, when he's 34, won't be the Mahomes that he was when he was 27.
Of course not. Yeah.
Call me obvious there. Right. But there will always be those
little glimpses. There's somebody going right now, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. There's no reason he's going to slow down.
Fair enough. You're entitled to your own opinion. Yeah. But there will always be those moments throughout his career where it's like, ooh, that was vintage Mahomes. Just like in that game, that was vintage Steph. Four threes in the final 3 minutes of that game that were dagger after dagger after dagger. Yep. And then you see how jacked up he was, and then they called themselves the Avengers.
Yeah, right. It was wonderful, man. Like, if you weren't fired up for that game and excited about that game, then I think you're missing what sports is about. Watching that game, and really the Olympics over 2 weeks, I thought the Olympics were phenomenal, guys. Mm-hmm. I thought from start to finish, from opening ceremony to closing ceremony and everything in between, it was a spectacular 15 or 16 days in Paris. Like, L.A., buckle up, because you got a big act to follow. That closing ceremony last night, you know, the national anthem for the United States after they passed the flag was, oh my God, maybe the best anthem I've ever heard. And then ending it with My Way, like, the entertainment was phenomenal. The whole thing was just spectacular over there. And what I gathered out of these last 16 days with the Olympics is that's what the sport is really about, that raw emotion. Like, it's one thing to win a Super Bowl, you know, the World Series, all that kind of stuff. When you see these guys and gals representing their countries and winning gold medal for their countries and the raw emotion in every sport of the folks who win the medals, that's what sports is all about. That's why we became sports fans. And I think we saw that in basketball on Saturday afternoon. Those are the moments, those are the games, those are the things you look at and you go, that's why I love sports. That's what's great about it. And what's also great about it is that they had an opportunity to market their sport to the casual of casual fans. And I thought basketball knocked it out of the park. On the men's side, the women's side is a different story. We'll get into that. What they could have had and what they didn't have are remarkably awful. But like what the men's side did and marketed all their stars to folks who aren't hardcore basketball fans, they hit a home run. And that's why, to me, if Major League Baseball doesn't allow its stars to play in the Olympics in 28, they're missing the boat in a big time way. That is the greatest marketing opportunity you can have for your sport. And if Major League Baseball didn't see that over the last 16 days with basketball, I'll tell you what, Major League Baseball will never learn how to market a player, because their guys would become household names. You want to tell Bobby Witt a household name? He plays for 2 weeks in the Olympics for Team USA and everybody rallies around him. Baseball, wake up. Don't mess this thing up, man. Let these guys play in the Olympics.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.